Not all three of the five. You're just saying you saw some more action than some, but not as much as others.
Yeah.
So we've reached the Reichswald. Can you take me on from there, please?
Yeah. Well, from the Reichswald. Quite a few dead Germans.
Were you doing bridging work there?
No.
What kind of work were you doing there?
We were just moving along with the flow.
And then?
Yes. The German soldiers stood up in sentries, but they were dead. They'd been propped up. Yeah. But they were dead. It was
Who had propped them up?
I could only think of their own people to make us think that they were in the trenches and waiting for us.
What else do you remember about this time?
Well, now at this time, the Reichswald Forest, it covered a lot of ground, and we were back in Nijmegen again now, from before Christmas when they had to go out. Now the Dutch people, they had lots of money given us, but no. Very little food. For the bar of chocolate, you could get £10 in guilders, which was a heck of a lot of money by any standards. And we were outside a little, somewhere where we stopped, outside Nijmegen. We were settled there then for a week or two. Because we get it. And, oh yeah, and we're going to Germany. We're over the border now, this side of the Rhine, but over the border. And the Dutch people, I can always say again, a bit of a square in Nijmegen, and the carpets, anything, food. You name it, and they wanted this. And we used to pull up in the market square. It was just like an Irish sellout on the crossroads. And they'd buying all this stuff off us, food and drink. And it was all out of German farmhouses, where the Germans had pulled out, civilians pulled out and gone back into their own country, or what was left of it. And sometimes you had a job getting onto the wagon because it was like a furniture removal. Yeah, it was comical, to be honest, as far as we were concerned.
Who was doing the selling?
We were. Yeah.
But what were you selling?
We even had a butcher, wanted a couple of pigs. Well, we didn't get one pig, but we had that for ourselves. That was a bit later on. Yeah. They had nothing. They had plenty of money. No food, no, nothing.
But what use were the guilders to you?
We used to, we would get whiskey from where they got it from, I don't know, the Dutch. No, I'm mixing up now. Cafes. There were cafes all over the place like there is now on the continent. And we'd pay £8 in guilders for a bottle of whiskey. And that was a lot of money. But, it was that. It was a hard life for them, but we we can only do it back and what could we do about it? Nothing.
Then did you go into Germany?
Yes. Tell him like a pig. We again everywhere was quiet. We've done a bridge. Which we know the German border. We do it could have been a clay thing, you know, not a stream or anything. And we one of those all the stuff with one of the drivers. We had 12 or 13 wagons with Bailey Bridge equipment on board. And we all sat with one of the drivers, one in each vehicle. And that's coming back. We were the last wagon to come back from this little bit of a bridge. What you do, you go back and you go to a dump somewhere and pick another replacement. 80 feet of Bailey Bridge up, so you've always got it there when it's needed. And we heard this squealing, it was a farm. So pull up, and we go in, and there are these pigs, and they were just the right size they were for pork, goat pigs. And we chased this one, and we used to chase it round and round in the farmyard, but, you know. If any pigs here, they're going to get slaughtered. Chasing it down there, eventually it gave up and we got it. We dropped the tailboard down on the wagon and it was squealing, and I could hear it in Berlin. And I had it by its tail and he had it by its ears. And lifted it. I'm sure its tail came out 3 inches. Lifted it up and into the back of the wagon and put the tailboard back up again. And alive, still alive.
Was this in Holland or in Germany?
This was in Germany. Before we crossed the Rhine. It had to be late January or February. And then, going along this road, and this big staff car was coming the other way, and I spotted it. The CRD Colonel Royal Engineers. And it pulled up, so we pulled up. Or his driver pulled up. And he went out. Da 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 da. He knew what was in the back of that wagon. Because he could hear it. And he said, hello, boys. Hi. Da 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 da. Yes, sir. Who do you belong to? Oh, Lieutenant Jenkins, sir. Bridging him to. Oh, well done. Good work. Carry on. Yeah. He knew there was a pig in the back of that one. Well, we were lying alongside a Canadian Army Service Corps unit, big crowded. Well, from over there, they've got lumberjacks and farmers and all kinds of things. And they knew what to do with the pig. They had it strung up between two wagons, and then cut it through, I think. And away we went, so we all had pork the following day, we all cut up beautiful chops and tits and that. But it was the only way you could eat it. You're surprised, these were luxuries, you know. And and then slowly it moved on to the Rhine area. So we had to get across there. Now, you heard the story, probably, of Christmas Day in the First World War, when they were all, us and them, was all the same as shouting across to us and saying, this is the way the story went, wasn't it, about the First World War, Christmas Day. Well, we were playing football, kicking the ball about playing football, on the side of the river, and the Germans were on the other side of the river, you could see them. They could probably see what really happened. Yeah. And that night, that was the 23rd of March, that night was the night that we crossed the Rhine. And they put a pontoon bridge, not a bailey, It was only put up for not wagons or tanks or anything like that, to get across there as quick as you can. And so we're into Germany, and it's getting a bit naughty again because he, in his own country, he wants to survive.
What was it like pushing through Germany?
Well, it didn't affect us all that, but we had a little bit more bridging to do than normal.
Why was that?
During these attacks, divisions and battalions and companies all had a target going forward. And our division's target was first it was Bremen, and then it was Bremerhaven on the Baltic. And by now we're getting near to the end of the war, where it's open. And Bremen, I can only suggest it was a place about as big as Manchester. Talk about Whitetown. London was bombed and bombed and bombed and bombed, but you could still go through areas of London and not see where they'd been. I mean, not then, not now, then. But Bremen, we had a building that we passed that wasn't blown away or really damaged. And you could smell the dead. There must have been thousands of Germans dead underneath all the rubble. Yeah, you could smell the rotten bodies.
Did you have any trouble from German civilians?
No. Only one, and that was after we got we're almost at the end of the war now. We got through Bremen and halfway between there and Bremerhaven, which was a division target. And and that's really well when it finished. And believe it or not, I touched that then with a message.
Don't worry.
Believe it or not,
You were going to tell me about a German civilian, I think.
Well, that's right. It was about 8:30 in the evening when we found out that it had finished. And I do believe they knew in this country before lunchtime. And we thought what we used to call was a flap, because we were getting shells coming over the top of us, what you might call ground shooting. And we thought Germans were making a bit of a counterattack. And then coming up this lane, two infantrymen, Scots lads, which was the Scots division I was in, Scottish, came riding up on bikes, said it's all over. Yeah, we didn't know. So it was all over, so that was the end of the day, you know, it's an anticlimax sort of thing. And in less than an hour after that, we were in a German farmhouse having a drink with the farmer and his wife, and his kids were there. That was in that short time between it's all over, and it was just other people that you met. These were Germans.
How did they feel about the end of the war?
Well, you didn't talk about it because I don't know how they felt about it. They probably felt bad. I don't mean as far as concentration camps. felt bad as far as losing, probably. And well, there, everything was at a standstill. Whoever makes the orders came through that you make for the objective that you were making for in the first place. Otherwise, it'd have been ships going nowhere, everywhere, and so on. And something else I never remember, and it happened to a lot, thousands. For the ship into Bremer Harbour, we were only a little unit. It was our officer, Lieutenant Jenkins, and a corporal, and myself and another sapper in a jeep. And that was to get places organised for our own little unit. But there was probably a squadron of tanks, a battery of artillery, a company of infantrymen, and all going that way. Slowly. You were passing German soldiers on the side of the road, still with the rifles, still with their arms, just walking back, going nowhere, they just walking back to give themselves up. It was an amazing sight. And going through villages or whatever, they'd been given the same, we were killers. We would wipe all the German civilians out. You know, through the Italy crowd and all that. Same as our message to our civilians.
Propaganda.
Probably just propaganda, that's what it was, propaganda. And the Germans, if they got over here, they'd wipe it all out. Well, they wouldn't win, we don't know. But that was how they felt. You could see them peeping through the curtain. As soon as they saw you, shut the curtains again. Good, they thought. They'd been taken out in the streets and raped and shot and all kinds of things, you know. But it was amazing that was probably about 10, 15 miles into Bremer Harbour. And there was a school that we passed, a German school, and it was full of German ordinary soldiers and officers and tea chests, you know, the big tea chests. They were full of revolvers. And rifles lying about and everything. They'd lost it all, they had nothing. They were just waiting to come back, to go into prison camps until they were sorted out and sent back home again. And that was it, finished. We were in Bremer Harbour 3 or 4 weeks.
Was that just as badly bombed as Bremen?
Not when I think about it, I couldn't. It was probably bombed because it was a port. Probably well bombed. Yeah, it probably was battered about. But these other big cities in Germany, we were lucky, really. Well, not lucky, but we didn't get half the smashing up that we gave to them. Well, it was a long far way started it. And that was the end of that. All these small units broke up. I came back over here in Fort Knight's Green and then back to Halifax again, where I was originated in 1942. And back out to the Middle East.